Well, Mitch, how was your week?
Busy. How about yours?
My week was, like, very busy, and also I'm studying for my finals, so...
Yeah, you know, I'm working on a final project for programming, and I'm having to make a game.
Wait, you're making a game?
A game. It's a text-based game. I don't know if you've ever heard of FTL. It's called... It stands for Faster Than Light.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of FTL. Yeah, I saw it on... there was a couple TV shows, although I am... If you know me, I'm a huge Trekkie. So in my version, FTL is known as Warp. Or for you Star Wars fans out there, and yes, I'm kind of a Star Wars fan too, it's also known as hyperspace or hyperdrive. So what's Faster Than Light? What are you doing for
so
that?
So essentially, it's on Steam. It's a really old game. I'm about 7 years old. But what I'm making is a text-based version of it where the user is chooses a ship. You know, you have the Tauros, the Crestal, and a stealth cruiser. I forget the name. I'm sorry. But essentially, you pick one of three ships that each have a different layout weapons-wise. So, like, the Crestal, it has, like, a missile launcher. And a dual lasers that fire two shots. While the Tauros is a NG base, and NGs are one of the species. There are six different species, but I really can't cover that because C++, I'm only using text-based, not actual graphics, because that's extremely hard. But it's fun.
Yeah, I looked up FTL just actually a couple of minutes ago, and it looks similar to, like, basically build your own Star Trek adventure game. So.
Yeah, and essentially you just go through sectors, exploring, getting upgrades, all the way to the final boss.
So basically playing through Star Trek in a Mario style.
Yes.
That's cool. I like that. For my projects, I don't have exciting stuff. I'm working on a biblical archaeology paper right now. Biblical archaeology is a really fun class to take if you ever get a chance with Dr. Razavedo. I'm working on when swords first got cross guards.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, like how they fight. Because obviously, whenever you fight with a sword, you would like a cross guard down there. So that way, whenever you get hit by the other person's, it either locks or, you know, it protects your hand and all.
Yes.
So that's what I'm working on. And I wanted to figure out when the first cross guards were actually invented. Because did swords not have cross guards? And what I'm finding is, yes, they did not, and it wasn't invented until the Iron Age, but...
Wow. Yeah.
So, that's pretty much what I've been doing all week.
So they're essentially spiky clubs.
Actually, no, they are soft metal bronze sticks, basically.
Oh, no.
It's terrible. They usually use spears or bows, for the most part. Partly because those were more effective, and so that's what my paper is talking about.
Nice.
So, it's pretty cool.
So I believe we're talking about the Easter pageant.
Yes, today's topic is the Easter pageant that we had. And for those of you who don't know, Mitch, you want to explain to us.
Yeah, so essentially every year when it's around Passover, the weekend following, the Keene church specifically, hosts a pageant of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Kind of the last days. You know.
All the events that led up to his crucifixion.
Yeah, you know, basically the last kind of couple of days. And for my most part, they kind of follow Matthew 11 and then go all the way to Matthew 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pull my Bible up. And if you want to pull your Bible up as well, Mitch, and you in the audience, if you want to pull your Bible up, it'd be great. And we're going to be basically discussing the different scenes, what happens in them. And this is kind of giving you a summary. So if you have not been to our Easter pageant, you will kind of get an idea of what's going on. And what we did specifically within those.
Yes.
So another thing is that I want to talk about is a bell. So this may be an idea. I'd like the listeners to see if they can maybe come up with something for it. Is that on another podcast I've heard, whenever somebody says a specific keyword or phrase, they're able to hit a bell. And I don't have one here, so I'll make a sound effect later. They're able to hit a bell, you know?
Yes.
And so what's cool about that is that you got to figure out what's doing that, you know, what actually makes that. So I'm thinking that maybe either me or Mitch want to try to make a bell type sound so that way we're looking for a keyword throughout the podcast.
Yeah.
Or maybe put a sentence together. So, you know, something like this. But this is kind of an idea for listeners to kind of give feedback on and kind of help out with. So
awesome. No, so the Easter pageant was fantastic.
It's really
the acting... was just on point.
I mean, I'm an actor, so, you know, there's that. Anyway.
No, and, like, everything just went like clockwork. It's like, if everything could go right on that Saturday, it did. Like, it was a nice day. It was kind of windy, but it could have been a lot worse. And just everything went so smooth.
Well, yeah, and I mean, in years past, we've had it, so it goes a little bit off and on. But I think God really helps us out when it comes to making sure the weather's nice and cleared. So props to God on that. You know, nice shout out there. So for the first scene that it talks about we kind of have a marketplace almost, kind of a Jerusalem marketplace. Yes. It's known as the Triumphal Entry. And if you'll turn to Matthew 10:46. I believe it's right over. Oh, Matthew 10:46 does not exist. Matthew 11. Let's see. I'm finding it. Give me a moment. Oh, it's Mark. Oh, that explains it. Oh, there we go. Okay. Sorry, folks. All right, we are back, and apparently, it's not Matthew, it's Mark. You know, those two books can get very very easy to mess up when it comes to just initials.
So Mark 10?
Actually, Mark 11. So welcome back to Mark 11. And so Jesus was entering the city of
Jerusalem.
Yeah, and
I'm assuming it would be a district, a Bethnage, in Bethany, at the Mount of Olives. He sent two of the disciples who go into the town and find a colt to bring to Jesus. But, you know, people question, why are you doing this?
And they're like, oh, it's very simple. Jesus told us to go do this, so we're going to go do this. But that would be the equivalent of I going over to, or basically you telling me, hey, go over to the neighbor's house and just release their dog.
Yeah. It's like, hey, why are you doing that?
What are you doing that for? You know? Hey, get off my lawn! You know.
But yeah, you know, God told me.
Yeah, God told him. And so they were like, because it would be strange. I also kind of find it funny that it says that the colt has never been sat on before. But all right, let's get into the middle of the story.
And so as they bring in the colt, Jesus sits on it. And this is when he goes through the markets.
And they spread their cloaks out over top of it. Mm-hmm. And then everybody shouts Hosanna and waves palm leaves.
Indeed.
Which is really cool. So that's pretty neat. And you get to see this played out in the pageant.
Yes, it was very well done. I like the crowd just following him.
Yes, and that's cool because basically we have all these sets of different shops, like, you know, bread shops.
It was a tax collectors.
They had tax collectors. Yes. They had a fossil shop. Everybody kind of from Keene brings their own kind of shop there. Yeah, it's really cool.
Really
and,
neat.
And that's a cool community thing, and I've played that in the past.
Nice. How many years?
I played that for about 3 or 4 years when I was about 10 to about 15.
Okay.
I mean, it was been a long time, and some years I've skipped and stuff. But it's cool to be able to go there because you get to talk to people, you get to kind of see people, and people kind of get a sense of what it was like back then to hear the hustle and bustle of all this buying and selling. At the same time, in the middle of Jerusalem, you have this guy walking on a donkey going straight through the middle of it, and people waving palm branches after him, you know. You think paparazzi's big today when it comes to rock stars, you should have seen it when Jesus was coming through, you know.
And so, you know, essentially after they walk through their town, Jesus goes to the temple.
And
this is where the temple was turned into shops, and Jesus was disdained about that. So he just walks in there, flips over a table, and causes a huge ruckus.
Yeah, yeah. Because can you imagine? And the thing was is that Jesus wasn't mad that they were selling stuff. He was mad that they were selling stuff inside God's help.
Yes.
House. And I mean, yeah, that was the biggest thing. And he says, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a house of robbers. And that's found in verse 17, if you're wondering. But, yeah.
Yeah, and so essentially, this is where, like, he's like, you can't be doing this. You're misusing my house.
Yeah, that'd be equivalent of me going over to your bicycle and riding it in the middle of the street and, oh, I know, even better. It's the equivalent of what happens if you take somebody else's car and round out their tires. Do not try this at home. I've never tried this. Disclaimer. But I've heard of some people who will, like, spin the tires and so they'll burn up the tires. more, where you can like basically create
road marks,
but that burns up a lot of the tires. So that'd be equivalent of somebody else doing that to you. Because can you imagine how disrespectful you would feel if somebody was trying to sell their product in your house without your permission?
It's not right.
It's just not right. And so, Jesus was not happy about this.
No, and, after he walks out, the priest come to him saying, hey, who gives you the right to tell us what we're doing?
And Jesus answered unto them, and they said, And Jesus said, the priest and the chiefs were wondering why. Jesus never gave them an answer.
He asked them the question about John the Baptist.
Well, that's a little bit further. So basically, inside the play, or I should say pageant, I'm going to use these terms interchangeably just because I've used them all of my life interchangeably when it comes to this. We go through and Jesus throws kind of the table over and the money changers. Mm-hmm. And this took place over by Scales Hall, right in front of the Dino Museum where I work.
I actually ran sound. I ran sound for that scene. It's very well done.
And then the next part was actually my part where I come in and I played the blind man Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was, let's see here. He was kind of a little bit farther down.
Let's see
here. Let me find where Bartimaeus is. Here we go. Mark 10:49 in verse 49. And this was just, it's not, chronologically correct, but it's the next thing we did.
Yes.
And in Mark 10:49, it states,
so Jesus stood still and coming and commanded him to be called. And this is the blind man. Jesus calling the blind man. Then they called the blind man saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. And he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So when Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do?
The blind man said unto him, Rabbi, please let me recover my sight. Or in my case, Lord, I wish to see. And Jesus said,
go your way. You have faith and made you well. And he immediately received his sight and followed Jesus on the road.
And so, we had that healing next, and I played that guy, and that was pretty fun.
I love the way you did. I was like, whoopee!
Yeah, I basically ran off celebrating. And in this verse, it says that basically he followed Jesus afterwards, and I like that. And after that, we had the questioning of the disciple,
the priest about
priest. They were asking about John the Baptist, and John the Baptist, was he sent from God or sent from man?
And they knew, the Pharisees knew if they responded either way, that either the crowd was going to maul them, or Jesus would spite them.
Yeah, and the original question of this was, they were asking Jesus, hey, who gave you all this authority to do this stuff? Because they're still mad about him, flipping over their tables.
Yes.
And he's like, well, if you're not going to answer my question, I'm not going to answer yours. I think that's a little bit, it's not exactly childish, but it's really kind of witty.
Yeah.
I really like some of the wit that Jesus goes through. And
I think, and the next part was the stoning, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and actually my sister, Jessica, played in that. And she went over, and it was the woman caught in adultery.
Yes.
And Jesus started drawing, basically, they said, it's your, this woman was found in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says that she should be stoned. What do you say?
Yep. And then Jesus said, For he was not sinned, cast the first stone. And none of them could do it because they knew that they all have sinned.
And to add to the dramatic effect, and also because Jesus is God, he started writing their own sins in the dust, which I thought was a poetic touch. And so basically the disciples...
Yeah, after that, he talked to the who was suspected of committing adultery for who's your accusers? And she said, no one. And then... He let her go because he knew she didn't sin.
Yeah, he knew that she did sin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he knew that he said, go and sin no more. And I like that about Jesus, is that he understands, he knows the fact that you sinned, but he says, go and sin no more. And I would doubt that woman would ever be caught in that again. No. Based off of that. And that's kind of, you know, it shows the mercy of God. So anyway, yeah. We need to get moving on. So Jesus talks to the people. He kind of, you know, basically healed a couple more people that we had here and there.
Yes.
And then after that, we had, let's see.
It was the, we should talk about Judas' betrayal.
Oh, yeah, that was also that immediately
leads into the Last Supper scene.
Yeah, so you have Judas' betrayal, which I marked down as, I think it's 12.
Mark 12. So essentially, Jesus asked them to hand him a coin because they had posed the question, so who do we pay taxes to you? To you or to Caesar? And God says, hey, give me one of Caesar's coins. He looks at it. You pay to Caesar what is Caesar's, and you give to me what is mine. Or it's very, very close.
All right, so if we're going to go to Mark 13, Mark 14, verse 10.
Okay.
It is talking about Judas of Iscariot, and that's the next scene that they have in the play.
Yes.
And he basically betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver.
He does, and that's...
That's sad. I mean, you know, but the other thing about Judas that I found out in particular was I was reading a book called Messages to Young People. And Judas was not one of the 12. I mean, or I should say he was not directly chosen by Jesus. The other guys said, hey, let's pick this guy. And Jesus is like, okay with it. He wasn't like, okay, I need you to come and follow. He didn't hand pick him. It was more of, okay, he was along with a crowd of friends. Have you ever been like with a group of friends and you automatically get in someplace?
You're like a wheel.
Yeah, you're like a wheel. But it's like, okay, you know, a whole ton of your friends are being able to go into wherever it may be, where they're...
Because, you know, like some places, they're only let certain people in, but you sneak along, you just have to be with your friends, and they just all kind of go together.
I see what you mean there, but I was thinking more along the lines of a, like behind the scenes of a play or a stage. Where, you know, behind a stage is that if you're going with a group of friends, you go through and... If a whole ton of your friends are getting backstage passes, sometimes you can sneak through or allow you to, oh, that's fine, just one more, you know, he's with me, etc. I think it was that kind of thing where it's like, oh, okay, this guy's tagging along. Can we make him one of us? You know, Jesus is like, okay, I guess so. Judas betrays Jesus, and then there's the Lord's Supper, and that's the next big scene. And Jesus goes through and says, basically, I'm not going to eat this stuff ever again until I see you guys next time in the kingdom of heaven. In the meantime, what are the disciples doing? The disciples at this point are basically going through and arguing about who's the greatest.
Okay.
So they're like, you know, I'm the greatest.
You know that better than I do.
Yeah, well, I've also seen it like 10,000 times growing up. And that's another thing is that the more you see it, the less details you get, which is sad, because you don't notice things. Like, you were seeing it for like one of the first times, and so you probably caught a lot more details than I did, even though I've seen it a dozen times. So, you know.
I think, okay, so let's see, the last time I saw it was like maybe either last year or the year before, because I came up here for student university days.
Ah, so you've actually seen it before.
I think it's a really interesting play.
So yeah, Jesus basically foretells Peter's denial, and the play's very, you know, Bible based, where it's one right after another. And if you just start reading Mark, you'll kind of get an idea of the different scenes. So the Last Supper, Jesus, you know, foretells Peter's denial, and they do the foot washing thing. And they also had Mary Magdalene and Salma. I still can't pronounce her name. Within that scene, and both of those actresses did very well. Both of them are friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
They did a whole ton of them. My dad also played one of the disciples. So
really?
Cool. And what's cool about this is that you get to kind of see some of your own community.
Yeah.
Playing parts that you've known forever.
No, it's funny. One of my friends, Carlos Alvarado, he was actually one of the people following Jesus around. And he says, like, easiest part in the play, because Well, you still get to be in the play, but you get to be around Jesus. You get to be around the action.
Yeah, wasn't he playing a disciple?
I believe so. I forget which one, but I know he was with the crowd.
Okay, well then, yeah, he kind of gets to play a disciple. And that's fun playing a disciple because they need guys to play disciples all the time. When you have a dozen people up there, one, two, three, you get one for everybody. And what's cool about it is that you get to go over there and just, be part of the story.
Yeah.
And it really kind of gives you from a new perspective because you can play different people each time.
No, and I would say the overall sort of, like, really just, like I said, it was like clockwork. And, I saw a little bit of the scene where the angels are, Jesus is in the tomb, and where the angels are fighting the demons at the church. It was like, wow. Really, the dramaticness, the emotion.
You're getting ahead of yourself. We gotta wait till we get there. So basically, Jesus has Passover with the disciples, and then he goes to the Gethsemane scene, and that's played out almost exactly how it's read. Like, directly, where basically Jesus is praying, and, and the angels and demons there.
Yeah.
Where they're, kind of fighting back and forth. And what's cool is that, they're just kind of air throwing. Because I love to air fight, basically, where you go through and you... Were you ever a kid? I mean, obviously, yes, you were.
I would hope so.
You would hope so. I mean, but, whenever you're a kid, you can go and take a stick and it turns into a sword.
It's funny.
Or
I actually went to a medieval festival thing.
Renaissance fair?
Yeah, and I actually got a wooden sword.
Oh, yeah, I've gotten several of those. And growing up, I used those all the time.
Yeah.
But it's that kind of thing where you can use part of your imagination. What's cool is that you could see kind of the angels and demons, pushing each other around. Yeah. And not actually touching each other, but, just pushing and moving. And it's really kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, and it's not as good as actual contact, but obviously you can't because you gotta think of safety.
But and it also gives you kind of that idea of seeing beyond. It kind of just allows you to kind of see, okay, this is kind of the tension that's happening around.
Yeah,
there.
You could really the tension between the demons and the angels, very real, and the way the person who played Satan, good actor.
Both of the actors who played Satan were very well done.
Very well done. Very they knew their lines.
And you have basically Satan tempting Jesus the entire time. And at the same time, you have the angel scribe going through and basically encouraging Jesus. But what I find interesting is that Jesus was only human. He only had... You have the exact same amount of willpower, potentially, as Jesus has. I mean, that's cool.
That's amazing.
When you think about it. So that, it just showed that we as humans have hope. I mean, with God's help. And that's the other thing. Jesus was so connected to God is that he says, I don't want to do this, but if it's your will, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's really a hard decision. So basically the betrayal and arrest and...
Then they bring him, I believe the next thing is Caesar?
Yes, they bring him, they bring him over to the council.
Yes.
So they talk to him about the council and basically kind of beat him up as they talk to him. Peter denies Jesus as well at this time.
Three times.
Three times and the rooster crows twice. When I was younger, I always thought it was the rooster crows three times and Peter denies them twice. I got those two mixed up. And then Pilate comes over and asks, do you want me to crucify Jesus and washes his hands and stuff? And we also have a mob there. Sometimes it's only four or five people. But I don't know. I didn't get a chance to see the mob this year.
I was, like I said, I was stuck over on the right side.
And I was stuck over at my scene. So we're only able to see some of the stuff and maybe the last showing. And then the Road de Dolorosa, which sounds like... And so it's got that minor vibe to it, and I really like that minor vibe. But you get that kind of that road, the Road to Dolorosa, and it's actually... as he's carrying the cross to the next part.
And I like the fact that they actually make him carry it.
Oh, yeah, they make him carry the cross. They make Simon come through, and Simon actually picks up the cross and helps him.
Yeah.
And
Just, like, like the level of detail they went to like to like make it authentic.
Simon of Cyrene. Okay. You can find that in, I think, 14 verse, no, Mark 15 verse 21. There it is. Anyway, and then the cross scene. And the cross scene is really intense.
Yeah.
Like, it is, it's badly intense when it comes to, you know, how real it gets. I mean, obviously, you know, we don't use real nails or anything, but Harold, two people, the people who played the crossed men.
Yeah.
Props to them, because they have to stand up there basically in their underwear the entire time. I mean, they really deserve some great credit.
It's funny. Did you know both of their names are Christopher? I forget. I know Finley. Finley was a very good... Christopher
Finley. Oh, you mean you're talking about Jesus? Yeah. I was talking about the two thieves on the cross.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, the two thieves on the cross, real props to them. Jesus is the people who played Jesus, props to them too.
Yes.
But basically, you're standing up there in your underwear and having to hold up on the cross all day. So...
Oh, man.
It's a lot of work. So props to those actors. But it really gives you the intense and gives you the full idea of what it would be like to be crucified.
Yeah.
It's not to the, you know, full extent, because...
But that's as close.
It's as close as we're going to get, where we're still allowing children to see the stuff. You know, and even sometimes, like, when I was really little, my parents wouldn't take me to that scene because it was just too intense. And actually, I mean, today I would really only rate it for seven or 8-year-olds and up, just because of the intensity of, you know, hearing somebody getting their hand slammed with a nail, you know. And you get this, yeah, you get that.
Oh, man, I've only had a hammer.
Wait.
There you go.
You know, you get that effect with it, and that's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't have a hammer, but that's close enough. And then, of course...
The actual resurrection itself.
The resurrection scene is totally... The resurrection scene is totally awesome.
Yes. No, like I said, I think I caught a few minutes of that, and that was, like... I caught the part where the demons were fighting the angels, and then... I think one of the head angels came up and fought Satan.
Yeah, that was Gabriel. He kind of, you know, pushed Satan back, and then... Yeah. Then you have Jesus entering out of the tomb, actually defeating everybody, basically. Jesus steps out of the tomb, and that's a really cool, glorious moment where you get basically the person you just saw that was brutally executed. Used executed loosely. That's getting somebody's head cut off.
Got crucified.
Crucified, that's the terminology. But you get to see them come out again, and everybody's happy, because that reminds them of what the actual Jesus did for them.
Yeah.
Where he died on the cross and he actually rose. Because that's the thing. Everybody dies, but only Jesus rises again permanently. And we can get into the theology of that maybe next week on, you know, why, what happens if you don't sin, because Jesus was sinless, but yet he took the punishment of all sins. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why he could die. And then, but anyway, we can maybe get into
that's a later
episode. That's a later episode entirely. But the props to the people who played all the different parts. I thought there was a couple of friends of mine. Thomas played I think Joseph.
Yes.
He did a good job with that. Stephanie played Mary Magdalene. I thought she did a very good job with that. I mean, all the actors did excellent out there.
Oh, man. I don't know if you caught a Spanish...
the Spanish one as well. Okay, that's another really thing. Good. Is that they have certain times... They do a Spanish version as well.
It was the the emotions within, like... Because I'm actually reaching myself Spanish, and so I can understand a little bit of what they're saying.
I'm half Puerto Rican, so I kind of get, understand what they're saying. I can't speak it very fluently, but I can understand.
On my way. But just the emotion they had within talking. Like, there was one scene at the betrayal where this lady comes over where demons are, like, hovering around her, and she's, like, freaking out, and then Jesus comes over, casts the demons out, and saves her. And I thought that was, like... Wow.
It's so cool to actually see and relive some of the stuff that Jesus did.
Yeah.
It's really a cool weekend and reminder of, you know, kind of what he did and how Easter should be celebrated. Because I think that's the original intention of Easter. You know, basically creating a holiday to celebrate or, you know, as a reminder of what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it for today's topic. News-wise. What? Well, I mean, that was kind of the big news around the place.
Actually, I know Thursday they're actually going to announce, because I guess the managers from each apartment in Findlay, sorry, were supposed to put in like the workers they found the most dedicated there. So I heard they're supposed to announce that.
Oh, that could be interesting.
And then otherwise, it's just besides finals, and I know it's dead week.
Oh, it's dead week. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Everybody's dead. Everybody's dead. We're all studying for our finals. I actually was in the middle of a paper right before this.
Did you go to the Garden Eden?
I did not. Oh, that's another thing. We had like a food truck out there today. And I didn't get a chance to go to that because I ended up picking pizza up for my brothers. Actually, the rest of my other half of my pizza is still over there. You want a slice later? By the time you're hearing this podcast, the pizza will probably all be gone. Most likely. So,
no, it's funny. I didn't even hear about it. So my friend's like, oh, yeah, you can go get a ticket. I was like, what?
Wait, ticket for everybody?
I guess they were handing out tickets to get food there, but I didn't even know about it until my friend told me, and it was already too late.
Well, also, I think it was just for people who had calf meals.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way.
But anyway,
yeah.
I'm all ready for my classes for next semester.
Nice.
Have you started for your classes?
I have. I'm taking human biology, college algebra, literacy in intro to computer science, LAN, so that's networking, and I believe that's my last.
Land ho! You'd be talking like a pirate, let me tell you that one.
Yeah, how about you?
I have, this next week I have let's see here. Let's see here. I have logic and set theory. That one's a hard theory to work on. Calculus thris.
Oh, no.
And differential equations. I never thought all of equations were different, but hey, there's apparently a whole class on this, and it's basically about working with integrals. And it's fun,
yeah.
But it will be
A challenge.
I have 3 math classes this next semester. I am a math major, so, you know, I enjoy that. That's something that I enjoy. Some people just cringe at it, but I actually enjoy it. I'm also taking educational psychology because I want to become a teacher.
Nice.
And I am also taking, what else was I doing? Oh, floorball.
Oh.
Hey, if you're interested in joining the floorball team, you'll probably have me on there. So, yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, I hope to do floorball. And I think that's... Oh, and I'm taking speech with Mr. Williams. Did you take it with Dr. Williams last
year? I'm actually taking it right now.
You enjoy that class?
It is a very fun class.
Okay, I'll have to...
He's very cool, and it's like, easy class. Like, just do your work. Like, and he puts it all in advance.
Oh, see, that's nice. See, I really enjoy it when teachers just basically give you what you need to know, and then, you know, go right out there
go
and
do that. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. I like that. That's cool.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate everyone for tuning in today.
Yeah, we know this podcast will probably be a little bit longer than the previous one. And we're doing kind of devotionals right now. But we are going to make, you know, kind of do different themes for different parts. Because we want to make this still, you know, kind of an all-around podcast. And actually, I don't know if you want to change. I'm considering changing the name from Southwestern Avenue's podcast to Southwestern All Around Podcast. Because, I mean, we are an Avenist school, but I don't want to deter people by thinking it's just for Avenist.
True.
So I want to make this for, you know, it's for everybody. Yes, we are from Southwestern Avenist University, but we're not officially associated with them yet, once again. So we're still working on that. We hope to get that out. And yeah, next semester. I also talked to you about getting the club set up for next year. So we should be ready by the beginning of the year.
Perfect.
So, anyway, thanks, folks, for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
I have a lot of editing to do. And I'm not hungry anymore because I have my pizza.
Well, remember to send any questions you might have to Southwestern Adventist University podcast. That's swayupodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. Yeah, and make sure you put the last one, not the first one, because, I mean, I guess Southwestern Adventist University could get this, but our email is officially...
Or SYU Podcast.
And if you're looking at for us, we are now available on Spotify.
Hey.
We're currently trying to get worked on for... I'm trying to get Apple Podcast working.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, we have Spotify, and we're also available on Anchor. Anchor.fm/SYU-podcast. And also, you can look us up on Spotify by typing in SWAP, and then maybe type in Airplane Pilot or whatever the name of this episode is. What are we going to call this episode? Did we come up with a name yet?
The Pageant.
The Pageant? That sounds too original. Okay. We need something different.
That's a good question.
Okay. How about... that's a play, right? Playwright? Yeah. All right. We need an official bad pun counter. Okay. That's maybe what we'll do for the bell thing. The official bad pun counter. Because these jokes are made out of paper. They're getting terrible. All right. If you're still listening,
thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll try to cut down on the puns at some point. So
have a good day.
Yeah. All right. Bye.